702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Technobite is brought to you by ESET Internet Security. Enjoy safer technology. Hello, Aki.
Eusebius Mackayzer, it's always good to see you. You had a good weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend.
You always
had
good weekends. You was just, you know, you were such an optimistic, positive person, you know? So it's always...
I always thought, and I'm sure some of my exes will agree, I always thought I'm a very moody person. But the number of people who are accusing me of being apparently happy all the time, especially on radio, I was shocked.
Who said you were moody? I want to tell
I know.
You. They accuse you of being moody.
The other day I chuckled and someone recognized me by my laugh. I would never have thought I'd have recognized a
That's
laugh.
Why they're exes.
Touché, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, there's amazing things happening in the world of technology. I struggle to keep up. But, you know, one of the things that we currently use at the moment is Uber, for example. And Uber have been hinting over the weekend that they are planning to launch Uber flying cars.
What are those?
Well, these are basically, you know, a flying car, like a mini helicopter. But these are going to be driverless. And this is where the future is. You know, you've seen these futuristic movies, these things flying between buildings. Well, this is where we're heading. And they're saying that the flying network that they are planning to, and it's obviously something that they're looking at. It's not something they said they're going to be doing, but I can guarantee you that it's something that's on their radar. They're saying that it'll take a 2-hour trip, about 15 minutes of flight. So they're going to cut down time, you know, traveling and, you know, traffic and eliminating traffic and all those sort of things. So it's going to be very different to your current Uber ride, but it's almost going to be like this intercity travel that you'll be able to call this thing, and it'll be that we don't know what they're going to look like yet, but I can guarantee it's going to be something like a helicopter that you'll order this. It'll come down, land at a certain point, pick you up, and fly you. So if you want to get from here to, say, Nelspruit or Pretoria, all these, you know, within a 3-hour flying distance, it'll cut it down pretty quickly. And, you know, this is not pie in the sky, because when I was at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier this year, I did see a similar kind of drone, an autonomous aerial vehicle, an actual prototype that actually works. It's a Chinese drone manufacturer called Ehang, spelled E-H-A-N-G, and they've already built one of these things. It's like a little quadrocopter that you literally, you know, you literally call it from an app. It'll literally land at a certain place. You get in, and it'll take you to the next destination you wanted to go to. So, it's a very interesting world.
That's not weird, futuristic stuff. This is actually feasible.
No, this is all happening. This is all happening. Okay. I mean, they've already got this one. It works. It's like a quadrocopter. It's like a massive drone, this Ehang. And I imagine that the, this one's going to look pretty, very, very similar. But this is the world that we're living in, and we certainly are going in that direction. And, it's going to be a matter of time before we have these things flying around. Now, the question is, would you get into one of those things? Because, you know, people ask, you know, they've done these surveys and they say to people, would you get into a self-driving vehicle? And knowing full well that it actually drives better than a human being. But humans have still got that reservation. And it's that thing with technology, which I find really interesting. I see that Facebook is the WhatsApp who owns Facebook. Facebook who owns WhatsApp. They're experimenting with this new feature that they're calling, well, they haven't given it a name yet, but it's basically, it's a new status feature that that lets you do the whole, like a story thing. So, you know, Snapchat's got this called story, Snapchat stories. So you almost like add images, you can draw on it, you can add emojis and all that sort of thing. So when you look at the youth today, they're all moving towards Snapchat. You don't use Snapchat, but they're all using Snapchat. Well, I'm presuming you don't use Snapchat. But it's quite an interesting thing to see how Snapchat works, because, you know, our brains are wired very differently using traditional things like WhatsApp. Now, I have tried using Snapchat, and it's taken me a while to get into it. But it's very different, because it's got like, you know, the whole idea of using the app takes your mind from one place to another, sure, and you've got to really multitask, which is where the youth of today are doing these things with a great deal of ease. So it's interesting that WhatsApp is playing around with this feature, very similar to Snapchat stories, because that market, that segment of the market is now playing there. They're not using WhatsApp anymore.
But I don't understand practically, so what will this mean? What will I be able to do on my status update?
Well, it'll be like a different tab, and you'll be able to add more of a storyline to what you're doing. So if you're going out for a weekend, you can add a picture of you and your bae, and add a bit of an emoji, and then the next picture will be you guys toasting or whatever the case may be. So you actually almost add like a storyline that makes it more alive, as opposed to the dullness of WhatsApp that it has quite right now. So it's interesting that they're experimenting with that. Now, I know you spend a lot of time on Facebook, And you also get irritated by the rubbish that's there as well. So I found this quite interesting, and it's so true, you know. You know when the Zika virus was around, so they did this research amongst Americans, but I think that this will apply to most people. Between May and June of 2016 this year, when there was like heavy coverage of Zika and, you know, golfers cancelling their trips to, you know, to Brazil, to the Olympics, etc. And the basically what happened was that they looked at the accurate information and they found looked at the misleading information that people were putting, because you often find these hoax stuff that people put and you think, do you not read it? Did you not Google that story? Does it look real to you? And they found that 12% of the posts around Zika were actually quite misleading. But here's the thing. That there was a World Health Organization video that people posted on social media. That was viewed 43,000 times, and it was shared by, you know, 964 Facebook accounts, okay? The most popular post, misleading information about the Zika virus, was a fraudulent medical hoax, and it was viewed over 530,000 times compared to the 43,000 times of the real one, and shared by 19,500 people. So, you know, I think that what happens on social media, I personally get the impression that people like to believe in the really bad stuff because it seems to create more hype or something.
More dramatic.
More dramatic, absolutely. Which is absolute nonsense. And I wish people would stop posting that kind of rubbish.
And same as fake news sites. Huh?
Yeah, and there's lots of them. And there's lots of them. You know, people dying and this politician said that. Does it sound feasible to you? Come on. Now, this is quite scary. Now, you know, there's a company called Adobe. They do PDF and they do Photoshop as well. They had their conference last weekend, and they demonstrated a new product, which is very scary. It's called Project Voco. Okay. Project Voco is, if you can imagine, Photoshop, but for audio. And how Project Voco does, it allows you to cut and paste voice. And it allows you to type in phrases. So if I say, if I want, so type in phrases. So let me go take one step back. It needs about 20 minutes of your voice. So if somebody is recording your voice on the show, of Eusebius's voice, that's all this computer program needs. And then what I can do with your voice, I can start typing in phrases, say, hello, good morning, Aki. And it'll say in your voice, hello, good morning, Aki.
Oh.
So it takes your voice and it almost puts it into some kind of a system, and it gives me this dictionary of Eusebius's voice. And it's useful.
That is quite scary.
It is scary because if you look at, you know, some of the banks and how they authenticate you.
Yeah.
So I can, if I can start talking like you and put your voice against a microphone. But
so what's the thinking about it before we talk about the abuse of it? What is it meant to enable?
Well, it's meant to help people in the audio editing industry, voiceover artists. Like, let's say, for example, you come here to Prime Media, you do a voiceover. Okay, and you go home and everything, and the producer discovers, oh, we actually needed Eusebius to say this.
I don't need to come back.
They don't need to come back, so I can take your voice. Think of the movies, for example. Think of Eyewitness News. If a reporter files something and they want to take something out, yeah, you can cut and paste, but it might not sound the same. But if you can cut and paste your phrases and put them in a certain way and still make it sound like you, then I think it's amazing.
But you can also have fun, right? I can imagine using now we can use Sean Abrams' voice to read the public protector's report. Imagine that.
Oh, gosh.
Use that voice for 355 pages.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine you can change everything around and you can really make it sound. But you know how dangerous that is? Because if you take that now and you start adding different phrases to that and make it sound something that it's actually not, you can be really naughty with it. Yeah. But I'm sure people would love to have fun with that one. But what they said was, they call this basically, it's Photoshop for audio. But they did say that they've got a very clever algorithm in it, but they did say, and somebody did ask them this, they said that there will be some kind of a watermark to prevent from, you know, things like fraud happening. But this is the world that we're living in. This is where technology is going, and everything's happening in real time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will have to find some kind of security measure to prevent people from being really naughty with this kind of technology.
So where's that at in terms of development?
Well, it's just a project at the moment.
Okay.
It's something that they're experimenting with, but you can see it's going to be coming reality in the near future. It's called Project Voco, and it's from Adobe.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
15 minutes after 11. Aki, we'll do it again next week.
Was that me or you talking?
Ooh!